You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're going.
We're off. Can you hear me? I'm on the old. I'm on TikToker headphones.
Yeah, I can hear you. You sound all right to me. I mean, I don't know if we're able to properly gauge how our audio actually sounds. Like, if by the time we output this, is it going to be like, you know?
Yeah. Listen, the people get what they get. They get what they get.
You get what you get, and at this point, you know, I mean. You know, the fact that you get anything, you know, when we're really the United States is actually like it's not first world. I'm convinced of that.
You know, I went out to eat with an Army veteran the other day.
Oh,
and you know, he's got some lasting hangover from his time overseas. Right.
Mm.
And at the same time, I'm driving through like, you know, rural parts of Connecticut or whatever, and I'm wondering, is this worth fighting for?
No,
you know what I mean, like, is it worth that man's PTSD that like, you know, the Darien Lake they got a fast food restaurant in Connecticut called Duchess. It's not fast food, it's like sit down sort of Denny's maybe. Is the Duchess of Bradford, Connecticut, worth the mental health of the brave young men that you go overseas?
I mean, I would hand it directly to the Chinese. I would say this is now a province of China.
What about ISIS?
It's the new training camp. I would help construct their infrastructure. No, it's, I mean, Detroit was shocking.
Yeah, so you had never been before. Is
never
that right?
Been. Yeah, that's right.
Give me your impressions.
It is now 2024, and the choice is up to you. Do you listen to good podcasts, or do you listen to bad ones? Well, we've got a suggestion for you. How about you listen to a good podcast for the first time in your miserable life? I can think of one. Overnight Drive. Going strong. 11 years now. The podcast about nothing. Your favorite podcast's favorite podcast. Do you enjoy nothing? So do we. Why don't you come over and check it out? And stop listening to other podcasts. Thank you.
I mean, it was just like eerily empty. Like it was like I described it as the Langoliers. I think I've talked about the Langoliers on this podcast before, but the Langoliers is a it's a Stephen King
made for television movie from 1999.
Yes, go on. And it's a classic. The plot being, it's a really bizarre plot. It's the kind of story that's written by a guy who's written who's exhausted every idea he's had for 40 years, and so basically it's kind of difficult to explain. It sounds insane, but it's people are on a plane. They land at an airport and they find that nothing is there. There's no people whatsoever. And time has seemingly stopped. And not only has time frozen, but like there isn't even a breeze. Like they can't light matches because like the premise is that everything has moved on from that moment in time. and that you're just stuck in this, like, in this just moment. And that's what Detroit felt like to me. It felt like a city that not only God forgot, but that people have forgotten. It's like it's fallen so far that perhaps it has hit rock bottom.
So here's what I think is interesting about this appraisal. How coastal elite you are.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I have the same response. Oh, it's difficult to imagine that this is in the United States.
Mm.
But if you're from the Rust Belt, you think it's your littest city. You know what I mean? Like that's normal to you. You've come to accept this, that this is life here. And so as shocking as it is to you and I told you my experience in Detroit. I took an Uber ride and the woman said, I was in a place that looked like it was fucking Dresden. It looked like it was right after it had been firebombed and like the stone was made molten. And she says, yeah, this place is really coming up. They've made some major changes to bring new business in. And it's like, holy Christ. Why? Because you have a Target that has a man with a machine gun out the front of it. You know, like it's like that's your litmus. Like, oh, we're really bringing the industry back. It's like, yeah, you have a check cashing place where the security guard has four guns and a knife.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe it feels like it's on the come up because there's nowhere to go at that point. Right. Like when a place has been completely starved of anything, of any sort of economy or life, something that can sort of bind life within it, whatever that element is that cities have. When the governor funds the Midtown area to have a barcade, you go, all right, we're starting to look like Brooklyn in 2007. Pretty good.
Yeah, we've got a microbrewery.
Oh yeah. I don't know. It's a strange town. The people that I met, everyone I met was extremely positive, which was very, you know, that I enjoyed. I enjoyed the people of Detroit, but as a town itself, it really was just strange. There's really no other way to describe it. It has the looks of a city. There's buildings, there's a downtown area, but it just feels hollow. It feels empty.
I think it's literally empty. There's some percentage of unoccupied buildings there. That's pretty shocking. Did I tell you my experience with my Yemeni driver?
No, I don't think I heard about the Yemeni driver.
So I had a Yemeni Uber driver, and I'll be honest, I can't mentally place where Yemen actually lands on the map.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's the Middle East, but I just can't see it.
I think it's like below Saudi Arabia.
It's either directly below or directly above. I don't know. Right. But I started talking to him. And firstly, let's handle this. Is talking to your Uber driver the worst, or is it? Is it all right? From their perspective, what I mean, like, do they just want to drive and listen to their fucking Robbie Williams or whatever the fuck Eurotrash bullshit they're on, or do they appreciate me asking them every aspect about their life in Yemen?
Well, so that's a great question. I wonder if I'm having the conversation for their benefit, or if they're doing it for my benefit, because right. I don't want the conversation. I would like nothing more than a conversationless ride where they have the radio on, so it's not awkward. You know, that is my ideal Uber trip. But when they start going, I have to go with them, you know? So, it might be different based on if they're from the place that they're driving you around, or if they're, because my question is always, how would you say they're a Chicago native? I say, what do you think about the way the city's changed? That's how That's the perspective I always want.
So you take the leading questions into racial politics.
Yeah, exactly. I want to know how they feel about the bombed out regions.
Because I'll tell you what, the Africans go straight to it.
Really?
Oh my God. Anytime I've had an African Uber driver, they light up the African Americans. they roll them up and smoke them. They are so fucking, they got strong feelings on the subject. Mm. And it puts you in a weird situation, because clearly this is a black man you're talking to, but he's not African American, but he's slandering the shit out of African Americans. So like, am I supposed to stick up for African Americans, or am I supposed to nod in agreement as this guy goes down like David Duke style fucking racial shit? Well, like what am I supposed to do? But I just generally ask a lot of questions. I told you I had a Senegalese driver who said, I did not bring my son here to be a rapper. So he sent him home because he started rapping.
he sent him back to Africa.
He sent him back to Senegal because he said, I did not raise my son to be black.
All right.
But they don't see themselves as black in the same way. Listen, everybody, if this is your first episode, Eric and I are not black, so we're gonna dodge this tricky racial fucking divide that I couldn't really understand, except to say that I did deal with a white man yesterday who was as foreign to me as any Chinese guy could ever be. Mm. So I do get it in some respect, right? Like, I do get that if I move to Russia, despite the fact that the people there look like me, I would not feel of them. Do you know what I mean? So that, right. so that part makes enough sense.
Where were you? You're in Philly?
I'm in Philly today. Are you asking about my Uber drive?
Yeah. Where was your Uber drive?
Well, the Yemeni guy was in Detroit, and the Yemeni guy was interesting because I said, you know, his car was pretty beat up. He looked beat the fuck up. He looked like he was, like he had just been through it, you know, like a car bomb just chased him out of Yemen. And so I said, you know, hey brother, how, you know, blah, 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 talking. Where are you from? Yemen. How long you been here? 20 years. Oh, that's good. You like it? No. I said, no. And usually immigrants are usually singing the praises to me. You know what I mean? Usually they're going off on one about how beautiful it is, whatever, but they always love their home country more, always. And I always say, well, this time I said specifically, I said, you don't like Detroit? And he goes, no. And I said, the weather, he goes, is really, really bad. And I said, if you don't mind me asking, what are you here for? And then I get emotional because if in whatever respect I believe in the United States, I believe in the notion that it is right and good to pursue kind of frontier opportunities for your family. You know what I mean? Like wherever you have to go for your family, you go to that place. And if that's the United States, if that's the place that's going to provide you the most opportunity for your children, then you go there. So I start getting emotional. You know, I don't start crying to him, but I like listening to him. He does not like Detroit. He does not like his life in Detroit.
Yeah.
But it affords his children. Oh, this is good. You hear this very Philadelphia phenomenon that just went on outside. he doesn't like his life in Detroit. But he loves the fact that his children could be doctors if they choose. He said Yemen is more beautiful. He said the people of Yemen are kind, and everybody gets along. But there is, which is probably a lie, by the way. Whenever you say everybody in my Middle Eastern country gets along, I'm just finding it difficult. But he said that the reason he likes the United States and the reason that he's chosen to stay is because his children believe with good reason that they could do anything. And he said that the evidence for him, there's a big Yemeni community in Detroit. And he knows people who came over with a dollar and are now country club people that own, you know, four BMWs, which is it strikes me as a very Middle Eastern lifestyle choice, by the way.
Yeah.
But four BMWs and you know, big home and all that shit. And to him, it's truly inspiring that somebody that came over as a fucking, like a professional washer of dish rags or whatever could, you know, now own fucking 8 gas stations and live in a mini mansion.
Isn't there currently like an active famine happening in Yemen?
I couldn't tell you. He says he visits every once in a while and it's very beautiful.
All right.
I honestly, I felt ignorant. Normally when dudes tell me about where they're from, I can place it on the map within a couple, you know, within a couple countries. Yemen, I really can't. I don't even know the shape.
So you're in Philadelphia right now. Detroit versus Philadelphia. Which is worse?
All right. Well, what word would you use? I guess if we were in like fourth grade or something in the 90s, we would say it's very gay.
Really?
What I have to do now, I have to politic. No. You understand?
Why? Because you don't want to offend?
Yeah. Cause it's like, I'm in this world where people take their city on their back. And they really take a lot of pride in it. And 99.9% of them understand that good natured ribbing is exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But then there's like the 1% that, you know, there's different types of people out here. I just interacted with a man so autistic that I had like, you know how autistic you got to be to shake me out of a conversation?
Yeah, pretty. You will engage anyone for a while.
This fucking dude, I pulled the ripcord and jumped out. Like it was like an action movie where I don't know if the parachute goes flying out and I just decide to jump after it, you know, like, oh, maybe I'll make it. Maybe I won't. Like it was, so anyway, the point is, there's people that are literal in this world. And if I say town X is a dump, They take that as a absolute fucking signifier that I have a strong opinion on a thing, when it's like, listen, man, does anybody really feel that strongly about a place that they weren't pinned to the ground and beaten up? Do you know what I mean? Like you can really say a place is a shithole, but does anybody actually care that much about any place to hate it?
Are you talking from our perspective?
Like, do you hate a place, or are there just places that you're like, fuck, I hate going there, man. That sucks.
I've made it a mission in my life to never go back to Philadelphia.
I mean, listen,
I don't ever want to be there again under any circumstance.
Oh, you don't want to be here today at 85 degree weather where we just got extorted by the parking meter guy.
Wait,
let me tell you what that means.
Right.
He wanted 2 sweatshirts.
What?
The parking meter guy only let us park here if we gave him 2 sweatshirts out the back of the truck.
Like band sweatshirts?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Is he a fan?
No, he's an extortionist. What do you mean?
Why does he want your band sweatshirts?
He probably thinks he can fucking, I don't know, he's giving them to his kid. Them? I got no idea, but he just said you can't park here, and we're like, oh man, it's like really the only option. We can't get any closer to the wall. He goes, give me 2 sweatshirts.
What? He's like, why wouldn't he ask for money?
Listen, he probably asked everybody else on the block for money. I don't know. Maybe this is his angle. Maybe he thinks he can get away with it if he doesn't ask for money.
This is a strange thing. Yeah. Look, I don't know. I mean, if I shit on the city of Philadelphia, is it possible that someone will wallop my head with an 8-ball and a sock? I suppose so. But
as long as I don't wake up in Philadelphia, it's all right.
Yeah. Next time I, for whatever reason in the future down the line, if I end up in that city again in my life, I just won't let anybody know about it. That's all. And, you know, maybe they'll jump me when I'm in New York or something. But listen, I don't think anyone's hate. Are people still really on? Are they that serious about this, about that jag? You know, like, I'd be worried about talking shit about Detroit, but I don't think anyone lives there.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's always some new young kid You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess.
And it's usually somebody that's been there for like 3 weeks, as you know, got something to prove. There's always some new young kid. Yeah. And I really feel that's the mistake that old heads make all the time, is assuming that because you're well respected that everybody knows who you are, or that somebody with a lot of testosterone raging through their body hates their dad, whatever the fuck their deal is, won't take a little pop at you just to be that guy. You know what I mean? So, this is all to say, look, neither place is a place I would live. Although I find Detroit rather charming. I would live there in the summer for sure. I really like the fact that you can buy a home for $13,000.
That's undeniable.
I think that part's cool.
Yeah. Certainly that's definitely. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that, but it's cool that the property prices are pretty affordable.
If you and I wanted to, we could save up Patreon for a year.
Yeah.
And buy a foreclosed home there. I mean, granted, I think we'd have to somehow figure out back taxes, which, by the way, U.S. government, you gotta be better at the forgiveness on this shit if you want people to relocate in these totally decimated areas. Because the alternative is that we just all hand them over to BlackRock. You know what I mean? That's it.
I think they'd be fine with that. I think
they probably are.
They're probably in cahoots on that one. And if we, you know, if we owned one of these Charlie Bow homes in Detroit, we'd probably have to defend it with an AK, you know.
Which I'll have to check, but I think is fully legal. So at least you got that.
All right. Lax gun.
Wait, let me. I saw a funny one today. I saw a video from Staten Island where it was a little news item. I get my local news right from all over the country.
Sure.
And Staten Island, a guy's ring camera on his front porch is showing a guy trying to break into his home. The guy walks around to the backyard, and this dude calls 911. And the way that the news had to kind of dance around the fact that this man almost certainly got racial was very funny. He says, so I call 911, and you know, I told them, yes, I was going to engage with this man. You know, so this guy races home to beat a guy up in his backyard, which he does. The guy is very badly beaten. So he catches this man in his backyard the way he describes it is very funny too, because he got indignant. He goes, I race home and the cops are not there yet. And in my backyard, I find a man using my bag to put my possessions in it so that he can take them home. And then I engaged with him.
Engaged. I do like that. I engaged with him.
And then the next fucking, it cuts to just a man with a beaten face.
It was
like, I mean, look, the burglar was not a small man. I would have had to call you up if I was like, Eric, I guess I have to engage with this man that's twice my size. But whoever the homeowner was either had a lot of fight in him. He wished to only be called Chris, but he either had a lot of fight in him or he was a bigger guy, because the you know, thick looking burglar was very lumped up.
I mean, that's what happens. I like the videos. Do you ever see the ones where they booby trap the Amazon packages?
Yeah, but I never know if those are real because they take them to such ludicrous extremes.
I mean, I don't know whether or not it's real. I think it's funny to watch someone walk away with an Amazon package and explode in their hands like a fucking IUD.
Listen, the thing is, I'm quite certain that, like, I wouldn't want to open myself up to getting sued by a meth head. No. You know what I mean? So in some states, that would mean that I have to wait for him to stab me before I could do anything. But I think in any state, if I just used an improvised explosive device to blow a man's hand off, I think that I would probably face civil liabilities of some type.
whatever. You gotta not be a pussy. Come on.
You know what? That's a good point.
That's fun. Is there anything currently happening that anybody gives a fuck about?
No, I mean, Trump got indicted, and because I didn't look at Twitter, I barely knew.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, you know, at this point, that stuff is purely for the heads. You know, that Trump news where something happens to him legally is like purely for the most Palmer reported person on the planet. You know, which is a lot of people and a lot of celebrities. It's really strange.
A lot of celebrities.
It's
Mark Hamill is really sucking that blue dick.
It's almost like exclusively celebrities at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like purely for Adam Sessler. You know, like that's who this appeals to. I don't know what these people want. We've talked about it before. Is there anyone on earth that goes, oh, Trump lied about the FBI and he was careless with his with documents. I can't vote for him now. Like what? Who is this? Yeah. What is this? What is the purpose of this?
I mean,
also, I wonder in the most good faith way, honestly, can someone honestly explain to me the difference between Trump's pilfering, quote unquote, of documents and Biden's? Because didn't they both do the same thing?
So that's the thing I find interesting is somebody, some, you know, blue check, but not anymore, you know, like blue check deleted at 250,000 followers sort of asshole, was saying, yeah, it just sets a really crazy precedent because now anybody who willfully keeps documents or classified documents could be arrested. And he wasn't insinuating Biden. What he was saying was, it's right and good that we should indict Trump because he is guilty of a crime. But I don't think that this man understood that he was also, by extension, implicating Biden. You know, like apparently this is, I don't know why this is normal behavior. I don't know why an official is bringing home classified documents. It doesn't really make any sense to me at all.
Yeah.
But apparently more normal than we know.
I suppose I'm lost on a lot of the details on this, but all I know is that both Trump and Biden got some docs. I'm wondering what the meaningful distinction is as to why you would prosecute one of them and not the other.
We like one guy.
Well, see, like that's like the cynical, I don't want to believe that. I want to believe there's a meaningful distinction.
Here's why you got to believe it.
Okay.
This is going to be totally arcane to half of our listeners.
Okay.
For the last, 63 hours, I've had no conversation that didn't involve Sonny from Hate56. Not one conversation.
Oh, sure.
So for people that are in our listenership that aren't chronically online hardcore kids who get no bitches.
No bitches.
A young man who videotapes all the shows, and I'll admit this is a bizarre, I don't know how much we're going to talk about this on Extra Grind. The moment might have passed by the time we do the podcast, but for reasons that are mysterious to me, he posted himself defending his camera. Somebody ran up and grabbed his camera and he kicked at them. That person happened to be a woman.
Yeah.
So I've heard every fucking take on this. Everyone. Mm-hmm. I've heard from the geniuses. I've heard from the goons. I've heard from everybody. And so much of it comes down to the people not liking him and just can't say that. They'll say things like, he's got to pay bands. And I'll say, that's cool. All right. How much? And they'll go, I don't know. It's just got to be fair. And you'll go, that's not a policy. Give me a number. And they'll make up a number. And I'll say, okay, how'd you arrive there? And they'll say, well, that's what labels do or that. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, but it's arbitrary, right? And then they bring up how much money he makes. Always they bring up how much money he makes. Mm-hmm. Always. Which to me is immaterial. It's either the man is exploiting my labor for a penny, or is exploiting it for $300,000. And either way, he's exploiting me. Somebody being a more successful businessman or less successful businessman does not mean that my labor suddenly becomes irrelevant to this conversation. So here's, when I press almost everybody, I don't want to say everybody because then I'm going to get some defensive texts in a minute, but almost everybody that I've spoken to defaults to, but fuck him. And it's like, all right, man, I get it. You don't like this dude. Can we ever just say, I think it's crazy, literally crazy. Like not like a, oh, it's wild. I mean, it's an insane behavior to not just admit that you're doing something because you wanna. Like, just say, I wanna. You don't need to rationalize, particularly if you're a fucking menace, right? Like, if you're a dangerous person, don't hit me with the whys. I don't, just say, because I'm unhinged and no one can stop me. You know what I mean? Just say that. Everybody would respect it more. But instead, you got people trying to rationalize through, yeah, I don't want this motherfucker or owe somebody money somehow. You just hate him. Just be honest. You hate him. And if you hate him, maybe you hate him because he's annoying online. All right. You know, sure. Am I wrong? Or is it okay to just say, I don't like that person. I don't like this thing. I don't need to justify myself to you.
Is it okay to say that?
Yes.
Yeah, I would think so. Sure.
Then why doesn't anybody ever just say it?
I don't know. Because especially within certain communities that you and I perhaps find ourselves involved in. I don't know. Sometimes there's like, everyone's always trying to get deep about shit, you know?
That's the truth.
Unless you talk to the goons that we talked about, they'll just be like, fuck that motherfucker.
Yeah, it's some of the goons. Although I won't say there's a variety of opinions. I've only talked to one man who had a divergent opinion on it, like a truly divergent opinion. Everybody else kind of falls within a spectrum. And but the spectrum always includes somebody else's money, which I think is wrong. Like, to me, I'm watching this getting frustrated because what if I want to make a lot of money? I'm going to have somebody fucking be like, that's enough for you, dog. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah,
enough for you, dog.
But like, I think in this case, it's relative to the fact that, and this is not my opinion, this is just what the argument would be that I've heard from people that, I mean, I've heard people use the word exploitive, which I think is too strong, but I guess it's kind of what it comes down to is like you are profiting off of making videos of someone doing a thing and they're not involved in that profit making. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I understand the argument, and technically, I mean, this part we probably will get into on Instagram. Technically, that is the truth. According to laws that I don't agree with. That is the way that it is. However, do you think that Walt Disney Company is right to chase a dentist who paints a Mickey Mouse mural on the interior wall of their dentist shop, so or their dentist office, so that they can make kids calm? Do you think Disney is in the right to do that?
Legally, yes. Do I think it's
legally beyond any? Yes, it is their. It is their right.
I think it's wrong.
Right. So that's my point here. Can we let the dentist get over? Can we let the guy with the video camera get over? Does everything got to be, I got to get my pound of flesh? I'm suddenly a principled individual. Yeah, you understand? Like, I don't know either. It's just crazy to me that a lot of motherfuckers get principled out of nowhere.
Oh, well, what do you mean by out of nowhere?
Like, suddenly we care about the exploitation of labor. That's suddenly a big fight. Like, that's what we're going to war for. You know what I mean? Like, this is a big deal to you. a big deal that Band X, who you probably have low key beef with, your Eskimo bros, and you're fucking angry over some bullshit, right? Mm. That Band X, now you're caping for them. It's just ridiculous. How about we cape for, if that's the case, how about we cape for fucking goddamn child labor or something? You know what I mean? Like, but it seems like we don't care that much until we do.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you bring up something and that's the person's position on the thing, it's not like, you know, yeah, that's not why they wake up in the morning to talk about that shit, but that's their opinion on it. You know, if that's the relevant thing that's being discussed, right? I think you can care about something and not have it be your like daily beat, you know?
I think you can have an opinion on anything. However, I think if you're going to convince me that this is a subject you feel passionate about, I would like some historical record of you ever giving a shit previously. You know what I mean? I would like that.
All right. I mean, you know, I don't know. I have absolutely no opinion on the entire thing. Sonny's been a guy who's been around for a while. This is what he does. He takes shows, he takes videos of shows. I can certainly sympathize with someone getting in your personal space. Don't like that, you know. But, you know, I'm also a guy who stands pretty far away from the, you know, I watch TUI from the balcony, you know, because I don't want to get wanged. I've taken too many hits to the head in my time in hardcore. I can't afford anymore. My brain barely works as it is. But, you know, I mean, I don't know what to tell people. You know, it's like you have a problem with what happened, with what goes on with him. You know, take it up with him. It's like this constant thing. I mean, if anything, what I care, I guess where this conversation leads me and where I care about is this sort of like the notion of like documenting the scene. And it's like, I don't know, man, what is that worth? You know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean, look, there's people that pay us monthly to listen to us pontificate on subjects that we are wholesale ignorant on.
Sure.
What's that worth? It's worth what somebody's willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I got it. And that's the bottom line for me is, I don't know. Am I like a fucking anarcho-capitalist now where I just fucking believe that, why are we talking about the exploitation of labor? Let's talk about this individual's right to make money. You know what I mean? I would like this individual to achieve the highest place that he can achieve without me stepping on his fucking neck. You know, that's it. And I just feel like I would feel very differently about this if I was somehow going to monetize the show beyond my guarantee.
Yeah.
But if I'm being honest, that was never going to happen. And if somebody else can make money off of that performance, I go with God. Mm. I wish you the best of luck. Like, to me,
when Rick to Life sets up his little flea market and he sells the Xerox copies of Hygiene, you're giving him a fist bump.
To be frank, I would, but I understand that's an extreme position. Here's how I think it's.
And I'm not.
Different.
By the way, I'm not comparing Sonny to Rick to Life. It's just. It was just.
Who cares? It's fun. Who cares? It's fun. It's fun. here's the difference in my opinion as an artist. So, this doesn't apply to music, and legally, again, they're actually. I think he is obliged to pay out in some way. For reproduction rights of the performance. But I don't believe that. I don't think that that's righteous or good. And here's why. If you take a photo of a sculpture, is the art the sculpture or is the art the photo?
The art is the sculpture.
I disagree. The art is the photo.
Mm.
And the reason is, the photograph is the transformative aspect of the conversation. There was the sculpture And now there is the photograph. The photograph is framed in such a way that only the artist would do. It becomes expression and transformative expression. So do you owe then the sculptor or the estate of his family any money if you sell a photograph of that sculpture?
I mean, legally speaking, or are you asking my philosophical opinion on the whole thing?
Philosophical. The answer legally is no, but
yeah.
But I there's different rules for music. And what I'm saying is I don't think there should be.
Right. If you take a photo of a sculpture and sell it, what you're selling is a photo of a sculpture. And if the sculpture wasn't there, then presumably the photo would not be worth what it is.
Okay. There you go. There you go. Okay. Now we're talking. So you think that my labor as a musician is what brings people to the thing, not Sonny's labor as a videographer. And you're absolutely correct. However, the expression is the expression is what makes it a thing. It does not exist without me. It also doesn't exist without Sonny.
Well, the video doesn't. And if people want to pay money to watch the video, then that's brought to you by Sonny, you know. That's where the conversation lies. And it's that does the fact that Sonny's video wouldn't exist without you, does that mean he owes something to you?
Many people think yes. Yeah. I really think no. I really think that once you get to that level, let me extend it. If I take a photograph inside a bodega, there's going to be at least 30 logos in it, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do I pay out those companies for use of their logos in this photograph?
On films and TV shows I've worked on, you have to either clear it or blur them out.
But you don't. So the reasons that films do that is so that they don't have to deal with the headache.
Yeah.
But there is more than enough precedent that if your representation is within the use of that product, then you can show the logo. Yeah. So, for example, in a motion picture, this is shit Eric knows, but everybody at home. For example, in a motion picture, somebody drinking a Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola could say, we don't want it in this picture because we don't approve of this picture, but they will lose. And the reason they will lose is because you drink Coca-Cola. If you showed a Saw movie where somebody shoved a Coca-Cola can up somebody's ass, Coca-Cola would say that's outside of the what a reasonable person would call the fair usage of our product, right? So then they can sue you. But you can put Coca-Cola logos. You can't use the logo as if it's advertising. What you can do is you can represent somebody drinking a Coca-Cola. So my point is, I've had to go down these holes for fucking comic books. My point is, I do not view what I do as any different. It is something that I created. And once I create it, it is, if you do something that fundamentally changes it, such as video it from four angles, guess what? Nobody in that room could have had that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it is transformative by nature. And when we're talking about the visual arts, you can take a photograph and according to what's the fucking law? What's it called? Basically, if you change things enough, collage laws, if you change things enough, and there's a percentage, there's an actual percentage that then somebody has to, you know, like you have to bring in experts on either side of it to eyeball and say it's within this percentage of transformative work. At least that's a standard. You understand? Like that makes sense to me on some level. Sorry, we've lost everybody that would like this to be a funny or entertaining podcast.
Well, but I mean, who makes that fucking distinction? That like, oh, it's this percentage. It's now this much different, which means it's a different thing.
Somebody whose wife stopped fucking them 12 years ago.
Someone incredibly anal.
Yes, that's who it is.
No, but like it's I mean, I hear everything you're saying. And I mean, this is the thing, you know, and at least, you know, speaking in my experience in the film and TV world. And it's like, OK, yeah, if there's a can of Coke in the background, none of us really worry about that. However, if there's a picture on the wall and it's artwork and it's say it's I don't know, it's fucking Frontiersman. Yep. We'd say, well, we have to contact Patrick Kinlan and who's the guy, Marco. We got to get a signed materials release from him. Otherwise, they, you know, you're open to some form of litigation. Whether or not you'd win is
you don't want to deal with the headache, so you do. Yeah. And that's the thing. You don't want to have to settle out of court with somebody to shut them up because they got a pit bull lawyer that just keeps coming at you. Whatever. I get it all. But like from a principal point of view, as the man that creates the thing that is supposedly being exploited, mm-hmm. there's two elements here. And sorry for everybody, this might get discussed on Axe to Grind, the other podcast that I do, and perhaps you'll be hearing this twice. There's two aspects. The practical, which is Sonny's made me more than any payout would. Like if he gave me like, here's your $500 for the fucking things that you've watched or the things, the views that I've gotten, the Patreon, whatever. He's made me more than that. So keep it. keep it.
Well, that's, I think if people like extended the logic further, that's where they'd arrive anyway, because it's like, what is Sonny the only guy fucking taking video on stage or taking photos? Like especially the bigger ones. Every time I'm at a show, there's like six people up there.
Yeah. And that's my point is right now you want to chase this motherfucker because he's doing well. And I'm only okay with that if you want to chase the guy making pennies, because then it's principle. You know what I mean? Then you're Kiss. And Kiss might be the biggest scumbags on the fucking planet, but they're consistent. They chase somebody making hundreds of thousands off of them, and they chase somebody making fucking $30 off of them. They are ruthless snake ass pit bulls that want every fucking penny. And look, does that make you likable? Not to me personally, but it does make you consistent. And yeah, my autism thirsts for consistency.
Yeah. Listen, I don't want this to be the Sonny cast.
No. Here's a topic I'd like to talk about.
Okay.
Chris matching with Julia Fox on Raya.
Are we allowed to put that out there?
No, he didn't match with her. He just caught her on there.
Yeah, we saw, and I liked how. So Raya is the app where I guess you have to be verified to have a profile on there, a dating app, and right. And I
but
like
when
how
the, when the drummer of Drug Church, a 500 cap band, is certified, the fucking drummer, clearly the standard for verification not very high. Although I will, in the interest of fairness, say that I was rejected.
I just like that he screenshotted Julia Fox's profile and they sent him a message like, you screenshot one more time, you're kicked the fuck off of here.
Yeah. Like that. I do like that rule.
Yeah, that is. No, screenshots are for bitches. You're out here trying to fucking.
Yeah, don't you trying to embarrass somebody, trying to get a little penis or something?
Yeah, no, but get out of here with that shit.
But here's what I want to talk about.
All right.
He's set his age on Raya. Like the age range of women that he wants to be with from, I think maybe
don't get him in trouble.
No. It's the opposite. Okay. He put like 30 to 40 or something like that. Right.
All right.
And I said to him, and he's like 31 or something. Right. And I said, wait, why that age? And he said, I just want to date somebody that's kind of like my age, whatever. I said, yeah, but you wouldn't date a 25-year-old, you know, like 25 to me is, you know, like, look, there's all these discussions about how, you know, what's exploitative, what age differences are appropriate, all this shit that like is, you know, kind of in the real world becomes very messy online. It's people are very black and white, but 25, am I wrong? Or is that's like a proper adult, right? By any measure on this earth, that is a functional adult that can make their own decisions. Yes or no?
I think that's when your pineal gland calcifies. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, so that's how I feel about it. But I was talking to my girlfriend about it, and she agrees that it's not like a moral judgment. There's nothing wrong with dating a 25-year-old.
No, maybe Chris is just trying to settle down and have a family.
Well, that was her point, was that's when you are at a seriouser stage of your life where you'd like to be with somebody that you might like to be with. But here's my argument. It's my argument for dating 30 plus, but not from the same perspective. Okay. Mm-hmm. But tell me if you agree. Everybody 25 or younger vapes.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with that one. Yeah.
So really, if you wanted to date a healthy minded adult, they have to be outside of the event horizon of vaping.
Might be everyone under 27, honestly.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe. Listen, I'm not out in these streets. I'm very happily married, but I see at my shows, everybody vapes. Yeah. Everybody. And it's not a pleasant habit, right?
No,
like
it's like
compulsive and strange.
Oh, it's
and people
terrible.
people don't understand that they're behaving in a way that's like drug addicty, like fixated.
I think it's worse than cigarettes in the sense that cigarettes might be like physically worse for you because they're full of tar and shit and rat poison. But
sure.
But vaping you can do anywhere outside of an airplane, basically.
Yeah.
Like at least cigarettes, it comes with this like, I can't right now because I'm inside of a building and I won't be able to be outside for another half hour. You know,
right.
Whereas this just allows you to just fucking just cultivate that fixation, that tick. I think I would bet that the nicotine you get from a vape is even more than a cigarette. I don't know that for sure. It just feels like it's true. I think it's awful. I think it's a really, really, really terrible habit. You got to get away from that.
So you'd have to date over 27 minimum, right?
Yeah, probably. If you wanted to be away from that shit. Yeah.
So I think any other argument that's out there in the ether about like, I think most of that comes down to personal preference in a way, but,
but Chris probably fucking vapes, doesn't he?
No.
All right. I don't know.
So I don't know. I was just thinking about it. Cause I was like, when I like look out at a crowd and sort of everybody has, if I needed to prove that vaping is a mind disease, I would take us through the evolution of the vape itself.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, I like this. Let's go.
Okay. So remember when they were
the evolution of the vape,
remember when they were very strange boxes with like a large hard plastic nipple on them.
Okay. My memory of them is they started as, remember Ripping Fat Clouds, where someone would and they'd just spew out like a bunch of steam, I guess.
Yes.
Water vapor.
Yes.
And then I remember the Juul, right? It looks like a weird little fucking like USB thing, right? That was not a cloud, but it was like a nicotine vape, right? And now I see these boxy things that are somewhere between the fat clouds and the USB stick.
Well, okay, so hold on. We went USB, so we went fat clouds era, right?
Yeah.
Fat clouds era over to the Juul, right?
Mm-hmm.
The USB. So fat clouds to USB, and then we had a brief stopover with those kind of tropical colored, they looked like kazoos. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
All right. So fat cloud box to USB to kazoo. and now we're at something that's so idiotic. It's actually called an elf bar.
No.
I think, look that up. See if I'm right. Listen, everybody. I'm thankfully old, and I don't know what the fuck a vape brand is.
Oh my God, an elf bar, elfed up.
So
this is no. That's what elf bar. You're right.
That's what I see everybody out here killing themselves on.
Yeah.
I just want to let's put this in perspective for a second. Let's say that vaping kills you for the sake of argument. On your fucking deathbed, when you're robbed of like the last, let's say, 26 years of your life, and you're confronting the fact that it was due to something called an elf bar, do you get to the job quicker?
Did you kill yourself sooner? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And also, are you at home? I got something coming to the house.
No, I'm in Chicago.
How long you got? I got a gift for you.
You got a gift for me? Is it an elf bar?
It is not an elf bar.
I'm in Chicago for another 2 days, and then I'm going to hang out with my folks in New York for a little bit.
Oh God, is this another one of your fucking? Is it another one of your things where you're there for like 6 weeks?
Nah, probably like a week, maybe. No, actually, right. I have to get back to LA because I've been talking about that thing I have lined up.
Yep.
Ish. Not soft. Ish, soft
yeah.
Lined up.
Possibly. Yes.
No. Yeah. I'll probably be in New York for 6 days or so.
You're running toddlers for the cartel.
I mean, that sounds lucrative. No, this is probably a $25 an hour job. no. Okay. Elf bars.
real thing.
Real thing.
I didn't make that
Dude,
up.
You know what it reminds me of is which I wish I could. One of the most, I mean, things like DARE and you know, just say no and like your high school health class or whatever, obviously all very lame. But there's one thing that always stuck with me that has stuck with me my entire life. And it's a chilling statement that comes from the late, great Captain Lou Albano. Who played Super Mario on the Super Mario TV show. And he said he did an anti-drug PSA and he said, remember, kids, when you do drugs, you go to hell before you die. That should be a chilling statement for everybody.
Yeah. Because yeah, that would stick with me.
You're gonna for all those sucking on the vape. Yeah. As you said, the last, 2 years of your life, maybe more. They're not going to be pleasant. They're not going to be fun.
I
mean, look,
I thought about it today because, we got to talk about the absolute fake news of the wildfire shit. Absolute fake news.
No, stop it. What are you saying?
I was just in first I was in Montreal, then I was in New York, then I was in Philadelphia. These are all the places that all the news outlets say are the most hammered. You can't breathe. People are in danger. It's a climate catastrophe. It lasted 1 day and it was a mild inconvenience and a gross feeling. I'm sorry to report that as seriously as I take the environment, this ain't it, fam, as they say. It's fake fucking news that a wildfire, it's not like, oh, hey, this is Delhi and we can't fucking breathe because, you know, we're a developing nation that has no standards on our manufacturing. It's, hey, this is a wildfire and the smoke, the particulates pooled in this part of the country because that's where the wind is sending it. It'll be there for a day. We have to redefine climate catastrophe because apparently I just lived through one and I'm doing fine.
Did you see, I saw the, which I have no idea if it's real or not. It's almost like, it's not even worth questioning because anything can be faked on the internet at this point.
Yeah.
But did you see, I saw it flying around conservative and conspiracy theorist circles on Twitter, but how all those wildfires seemingly have started at the exact same time.
Yeah. So I've seen that, there's a lot of speculation. I mean, I will say that if the satellite imagery is accurate, I mean, I'd like some answers. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be a wildfire expert, but it's, I would love some explanation on how fires 500 miles apart from each other started at exactly the same moment. You know what I mean? Like that is, but somebody brought up to me, hey, if this was intentional, don't you think that they would not be so obvious? But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is all just to say that it looked fishy. I would love for an informed person to tell me more about that. You know,
what's my caveat these days with everything is if that's real, then yeah, pretty weird.
Pretty weird.
If it's real, I don't know if it's real or not. Someone could have made that shit up for their own agenda.
I mean, that those AI images are really getting there.
They're getting there.
Like if I was Sunny and there was a video of me kicking a woman, I wouldn't post it. I would say it didn't exist at all.
Well, hey, podcast listener, my name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. I don't know. I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show, wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, maybe
I would say that I would say that's AI.
Maybe it is.
By the way, did you feel the kicking the woman thing was the criticism of that? I felt was very muted. And I thought that was, tell me if this is just the misogynist in me. I felt that was muted and rightfully so, because I don't think it's good behavior to kick a woman, but I also think that in the context of the show and the moment, we would kind of be hypocrites if we said, oh my goodness, I've never seen a woman at a show be kicked, right? That would be dishonest on our part, because people just kick each other at shows. I saw somebody take a double flying like leg kick to the chest the other day.
Yeah.
We'd be kind of full of shit. Is that correct?
Well, it reminds me of, probably over 10 years ago at this point, right? Didn't Justice take some flack on the internet because he sort of like elbowed someone out of his way at a show in like fucking Europe or something, somewhere in Europe?
It was a little more than that. I think he broke his orbital. But
Shit, is that right?
Yeah. So I've talked to him about it. I've talked to Brendan actually, TUI Turnstile, about it too, because he was a very young man at the time and it made a huge impression on him, because at the time it was kind of, he got to experience lies. Like the first time you're lied about, the first time you are lied about in a public way, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, it breaks your brain. Mm-hmm. It is very, very destabilizing to see something you know to be untrue. Stated, repeated, accepted. And if you're a young man, it will take, we're in a, still in a stage of your life where you're shaping your own identity and trying to understand who you are. Seeing the way that it takes nothing to get people to believe the worst about you is incredibly destabilizing.
Oh yeah. But it's more than that. Cause it's like, well, maybe this is something slightly different, but like when it comes to things like journalism, when it's, you know, if you're ever in the unfortunate position where you're part of a news story, or maybe even broaden it out a little bit, maybe the news is reporting on something that you know intimately and you know that they're wrong, You know that they're getting facts wrong. You know that they're mischaracterizing things. And then you realize what your next logical conclusion should be. Oh, this is everything. They do this. This is not just a unique experience to me. This is everything. Like my, I remember in the, like the 90s, my dad went to court for unpaid parking tickets because he said that he was parking his car. He owned a business. Business was near an incorporated village. They made it some law in the village that you had to be a resident to park there. And my dad was like, I don't fucking live here, but my business is right here. I can't park anywhere. There's nowhere else to park. Racks up tickets, goes to court, wins. The law goes away. And they, you know, local paper does a story on him. And they completely just make shit up that he never said. And it's like, they're like, Mr. Wilson said that he never pays parking tickets. And it's like, my dad was like, I didn't fucking say that. What they do. This is what people do. Yeah. They lie on you.
But now time has passed and your dad believes the Mueller report.
Well, you know, life is long, you know.
Yeah, the brain calcifies.
I mean, it's just, you know, things, the time marches forward and I mean, whatever. But it's getting lied on in a public way and in a way that leads strangers to believe a complete fiction about you. Is nauseating. It's a horrendous feeling.
So but that's essentially what happened to, I mean, I don't want to get the story wrong because I've now heard it firsthand, and if I get it wrong after that I feel like an asshole. But basically a thing that was resolved pretty much in the moment or maybe immediately after was taken and run with by an internet that was fake caping up for somebody for the purposes of harming somebody else. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. which is how so much of this goes. So much of this goes is I really care about this. No, you don't. No, you don't. You care about harming the other party.
I mean, what is that? You know, like that to me,
That's being a bitch.
Well, but it's like, yes, but it's also just like the dark soul of man, you know, that that like, it's almost ingrained. It's almost like part of our physiology. Like if you could dissect the brain and find a little piece of meat that accounts for it, you know, that we need to hate someone or that we need to create a witch in our head that we skewer, like that's the scary thing. And the fact that you could be the witch in someone's mind and that they could through the clothing of righteousness rally the townsfolk to crucify you is terrifying.
Oh yeah.
It's terrifying. It seems like primitive behavior, but it's entered the digital space. There's just different ways we do it. And maybe we don't literally string them up like we did Mussolini, but we tar and feather them digitally. We destroy their social life and reputation and ruin who they are. I mean, what do you do? I guess I'd grow a beard and become a logger and move out of state or something.
I mean, listen, I thought about going on the side of a mountain blowing glass. Mm. How nice would it be to own to really know a craft like glass blowing? I guess ultimately though, you just end up making bongs, huh?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you end up working the reggae festival.
Because I was just thinking, because glass blowing is cool. It's very like, it's a craft that's also artistic, and you know, it's trade that's artistic and it's cool, but I guess, yeah, you probably, it's just bongs at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's bongs and elf bars.
Yo.
That's what your life amounts to.
Imagine if you could make a lot of money off of elf bars, do you do it or not? The new cigarette, but not quite the same stigma, so you can like rationalize to yourself.
I mean, what is Biggie saying? You know, he's like, was he selling crack? Yeah, but it was so he could feed his daughter. You know?
Yeah. But what is that? Like, do we excuse somebody? Like, let's say, like, it's selling crack cocaine to people who, you know, have to fucking suck off dudes in a car on Figueroa, or, you know, go through their mom's purse, or put a gun in somebody's face, all while experiencing the personal hell of addiction.
Yeah.
Is that like, but you've created generational wealth for your family. Does that make you any different than the Sackler family?
Right. Right. Sure. Look, it's, I go with the wire. The game is the game. It'll always exist. Only the players change. Mm. And, you know, if it wasn't me making the elf bars, it'd be somebody else. And, my presence in this process is ancillary. I only am here to get by for me.
Mm.
And what is the worth of that? I mean, like, think about that, like that notion of like, because you can apply it to literally everything in life. If it wasn't me, it'd be someone else. You know,
I know. There's
9 billion people now. What, 8 maybe? Do we reach 9 or do we just reach 8?
Maybe I think we're at 8.
There's 8 billion. I mean, truly anything. I mean, the most specialized person, right? I mean, that's why sort of art and expression is really kind of the only, it's the only like, when you create something, only you could have created that in a sense, right? But everything else, no matter what it is, I mean, like, you're replaceable. You're like, even the most specialized person, even the, you know, maybe unless you're like, it's like an extremely dying trade, like you're like, you can change the light bulb in a lighthouse or something. Maybe there's only like 20 people who can do that. Just, you know, you're one. Then if you die, then there's 19. So you're still replaceable.
Yeah. And eventually they just say, okay, we're going to switch over to
AI.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, but what is, you know, what is the worth of that? I mean, it's your conscience, right? Like, you wouldn't feel great about selling crack, but, you know.
No, but if you ran a bodega and you didn't sell elf bars, you'd be back in Yemen.
Exactly. So what's, you know, and you know, is it weaselly to sort of extend that out? Like, all right, I don't sell elf bars because they give people cancer, but I sell Hostess honey buns. That give people heart disease, you know, should you feel away about that.
And this fucking fat family comes in every day.
Every day. You know, like, what's so you have to extend it outward, you know? I mean, there's people want what they want. You can't, you merely supply it.
Yeah.
You know, you live how you, and look, there's, I mean, you love your Mexican Cokes. Is that so different from an elf bar?
It's probably worse for you, honestly. I mean, one pull on an elf bar versus a complete fucking full sugar Mexican Coca-Cola is, you know, flip a coin, I guess.
There you go. So what are we talking about? I mean,
do I look like Chuck Liddell right now?
The MyPillow guy?
No. That's
Mike Lindell.
That's Mike Lindell. Chuck Liddell is the old, like, first gen MMA fighter. Look him up real quick.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at him right now. If you had a goatee, I could see it. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I feel like I do, though. There's like a shadow on me right now. Do you see that?
Yeah. I see it. You know what's kind what's astounding to me? What did the vaccines do to us, man? Because I swear to God.
Made me Chuck Liddell.
Well, I swear to God, I aged. In the last, like, 2 years, I aged horrendously. Like, I look at photos from me from straight up from 2021, and I'm like, looking pretty good. And I look at myself now, I'm like, what happened? Is there that much of a chasm between 30 and 32?
I mean, I put on a fucking hat the other day, and everybody said, ew. And I said, what do you mean fucking ew? And they said, you look like an old man trying to look like a young man. Well, hold on, look at this. Is that all right?
Yeah, it is kind of way. You look like the guy who sells Elf bars at the gas station.
To me, I look like a dude that still thinks he can be atmosphere.
Yeah. What do you think about? I wanted to ask you this question while we were in the van. We rode in the van from Chicago to Detroit, and while we're up there, you know, we're driving through God's country, right? We're driving from Illinois to Michigan, and we're on the road, and we're on the highway, and every so often you drive past some billboards, right? Most of them for weed these days, which was a lot of weed billboards. That's the new industry. But every now and then you pass by like Salty's Crab Shack off of, you know, Route 92, exit 48, yep. Take the first left past the Exxon.
Betty Beavers.
do you ever pass by those billboards and just think that's not only their life, but their dream that they opened up the Shakey's off of Route 48. What do you like? I mean,
are you familiar with Betty Beavers?
Betty Beavers? No, I'm not.
Google it right now.
Okay. Betty, I thought you just made it up.
No, look up Betty Beavers. It's Betty an upstate Beavers. New York classic.
Betty Beaver fuel is what I get.
Yeah. Yeah. Go to the images.
Betty Beaver truck stop. the mascot.
Yeah, could you describe the mascot to people?
I don't know if that's a beaver. I think it looks well, all right. It's an
anthropomorphized animal.
It's an anthropomorphized somewhere between a beaver and a squirrel, but they've been turned into a busty like a fucking like big tits, big ass woman. That's dressed in like 4th of July, like USO type,
yes.
USO show, red, white, and blue bikini.
Yes.
Holding a gas station nozzle. Betty Beavers.
Yes.
Who's the heir to the Betty Beavers fortune?
I don't know, but I hope they're honoring their forebears by continuing the legacy.
Yeah, Betty Beavers. I mean, that's how, you know, they created generational wealth.
They had to do what they had to do.
Yeah. From I'm on the website roadsideamerica.com, which doesn't look like it's been reformatted since 1996.
Sure.
Kanajohari, New York.
Kanajohari.
Yeah. Kanajohari on the east side of town. Betty Beaver's fuel stop. I mean, there's a few locations. That's good.
How does it not have its own Wikipedia? That's crazy. I might have to star one. Oh, wow. Hold on. Fur. What the fuck? Go to Fur Affinity, which I think is a furry site where they really love this.
Yeah. I mean, oh, it has that. It totally has that. I mean, you have to think about that too, right? I mean, like anthropomorphizing creatures into humanoid forms is a practice as old as fucking Aesop's fables, right?
Yes.
So like Betty
is just part of that proud legacy.
Today's understanding of that is sort of in the context of furries, but I mean, and maybe, you know, maybe a current day person who identifies as a furry, maybe they had a moment at Betty Beaver's truck stop as a child.
Mm.
I mean, that's a busty looking beaver.
It would definitely make an impression.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, you know. I mean, I think that's how these sort of fetishes and stuff cultivate. Something happens when you're a younger person.
Yeah, you're at the town pool, and all the women have their feet in the pool, and you you got your little goggles on, you swim over, and you get hit in the face with an old lady's little toes, and then you're just a fucking sex pervert for the rest of your life.
Sex pervert for the rest of your life. Nothing you can do about it.
Trapped in the cycle.
But you know what? Better than being a witch hunter.
That's true.
A lot of dark personalities in the world, you know.
Oh my God. Listen, and the fact that nobody calls them out and just says, hey, you're the Torquemada here, right? Is that how you say that? Fucking how do you say Torquemada? Is that how you say it? Look up T O R Q. Maybe it's a C. God damn it. How do you say it?
Oh, T-O-R-Q-U-E-M-A-D-A.
Torque. How do you look at the pronunciation? How do you say that word? It's a man.
Yeah, it's he was a friar in Spain.
Yeah,
am I looking at the right thing?
Yeah. What's it say about him?
Thomas of Torquemada was a Castilian Dominican friar and first Grand Inquisitor of the Tribunal of the Holy Office, otherwise known as the Spanish Inquisition.
Uh-oh. Yeah, so that guy used to chill in a Philly basement and yell at other people for like, oh hey, you're not allowed to be on Tinder.
Yeah, that's who he was reborn into.
Exactly right.
The soul of Thomas de Torquemada was reborn in the Philly basement, kid.
That's right. This dude is mainly either like he's either super evil or they took him on as a kind of a banner for the super evil.
Yeah. The Grand Inquisitor. I mean, that's what happens. Yeah. What's the soliloquy of Ed Tom Bell in No Country for Old Men when he's talking about how the kid that killed his girlfriend, and he said he had no reason, he just wanted to see what it was like to kill someone, and that as soon as they pulled the lever on the electric chair, he was going to come right back and do it again. What does a man say about that, you know?
What does a man say about that?
Couldn't make it up if you tried. yeah, I mean, it's the evil souls, they come back around. They reform, you know? What's up with Oppenheimer? Did he not know that his bomb was going to kill people?
I think he did, but I think he's just like these people with the AI today, which is I need to know. There's a science that I have to complete the science. I have to see what this is. I have to understand the world. I have to achieve something great. I have to contribute, and never having the self-awareness to ask if what you're contributing is going to lead to the annihilation of many people and plunge us into a cold war.
Only he could see us now.
Yeah, we're killing it. All right, I'm down to 10% battery life because I'm speaking on this thing. You got to read about Benjamin Melendez, who is a Noriegan activist, musician, and gang leader, or he was, he's dead. He's best known for brokering the New York City gang truce in 1971 while president of the South Bronx gang, the Ghetto Brothers. The reason you got to look him up is because the Torquemada, Torquemada, whatever you say this fucker's name, Wikipedia brought me to the subject of crypto Jews.
Oh.
And those are Jews who are Jews, but say they are another faith so that they can not be persecuted. And apparently this Noriegan dude was that. So he's on the list of notable crypto Jews is Benjamin Melendez.
What about it's like this Babylon Bee headline that says Trump to name Hunter Biden as his running mate so the FBI will stop investigating him.
LOL. Oh good, it's raining in Philadelphia.
You're having a good 10% battery in a van while it's raining 85 degrees in Philadelphia.
They're killing it.
All right. Everybody, thank you for listening. Patreon.com/worst possible timeline. We'll try and get a Patreon out for you soon. Pat's on tour, obviously, but we'll
get you.
We'll get you. We'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.